Last few weeks, we've been diving into an incredible book called the Book of Proverbs. It's in the Old Testament, which means it's in the old half, the first half, right? And what's been fun about the Book of Proverbs is how much it has to do with everyday life. And it's just one of those books, you can pick it up in any era, any century, any culture, any time, and apply it to anything going on in your day. And we're talking about how we all need biblical wisdom. And to rely on our own wisdom is going to be a little shaky, a little risky. But God's watching over us and has provided His words of wisdom to guide us in daily life. And so we've defined biblical wisdom as the application of knowledge, experience, and sound judgment that leads to making godly decisions and choices. Decisions and choices that we can trust, that are going to keep our relationships solid, that are going to keep us on the right track in life, whatever age we're at. And every one of you, whatever season of life that you're in, has choices and decisions you're facing each day. What are you going to base those on? And God's saying, trust me. Trust my guidance and apply my wisdom into your life. And so we've been talking about all these different topics. We've talked about how do we make decisions? Who do we let influence our lives and those choices that we make? Today we're going to talk about how our words directly impact the lives around us in such a key way. Next week we're going to talk about the role money plays in our life, and then we're going to talk about the kinds of habits we get into and let affect our life. And so as I've been really studying each week and diving deep into Proverbs, I've come across a lot of modern-day Proverbs that it's been so interesting how they all find their roots way back in this old, ancient text that still applies to so much that we deal with today. But good old Ann Landers. The trouble with talking too fast is you may say something you haven't thought of yet. And so, but just kind of let these kind of soak into your mind. You're going to see how when we get into biblical Proverbs, how a lot of these find their roots there. So all our war historians here, this is a good one I came across from Churchill. By swallowing evil words unsaid, no one has ever harmed his stomach. My favorite president of all time: better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. And then one of the great theologians, his words on words. I'll let you read those for yourself. Anyway, so. So tell me if you can finish this. Give me a little help here. If you can't think of something nice to say. Okay, so you've been raised right. We all heard that one, you know, and anytime mom or dad saw that look on our face, and we were just about to blurt something. Can't say anything nice. Can't say anything nice. Don't say anything at all. Okay, so how about this one? Sticks and stones can break my bones. Okay, I never liked that one. And that's what we're going to talk about really today. Is I can remember times in my life, whether on the playground, at the schoolyard, or in the classroom, or in my later years in the workplace, I'd rather take a beating with some sticks and stones than some of the words that can come along and really pierce. And those words stick with you, for better or for worse. I can still remember some of the great words that have stuck with me. And our words reflect our hearts. I can remember as a kid, a halftime speech one of my coaches gave us. And I was having the worst first half of a soccer game I thought I ever had. And he pulled me to the side and said, "Hey," and he was a new coach and he didn't really know our names even yet. And he goes, "Hey, number three, you're the only one doing anything right out there." And I'm like, "What? I'm getting crushed out there." And he gave me this two-sentence pep talk. Just keep doing what you're doing, and things will turn around. And that second half just took off. I mean, here was somebody that believed in me and just had these encouraging words to
to fill me up. And I've never forgotten. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just these words that come in when you feel like everything's just flailing and not going your way. But to hang in there, because somebody believed in me even at a young age, that stuck with me. Even when things like, you know, the TV screen's not going right, just hang in there. Things will turn around. Just keep calm. Stay cool. You can hear that little voice encouraging you. And it's just, those words have such power. But here's what the book of Proverbs has to say, and we're going to hit like several different categories today of how our words have such an impact. And the first one is our words reflect our heart. And this can be a tough thing because we can tend to see that what comes out of our mouth sometimes is a reflection of what's going on inside. And sometimes it's not pretty. But God wants us to use our words in a way that's going to bring blessing and not bring others down. And the hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. How pretty is that? Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Those are the kind of words that come out of somebody with a wise heart. A heart that's secure. A heart that's been filled up. That isn't fighting so many wounds that they're needing to lash out. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. How many times hopefully it's been a lot, when that person in your life, that's maybe when you're going through a time where when you're worried, you're insecure, things seem like they're a little bit derailed, comes along, puts their arm around you, whispers some encouragement, just kind of lets that anxiety kind of go away, that comforting voice. And, you know, I had many a butterfly on many a Saturday morning driving to many a soccer field as a kid. And I still, every time I hear my dad's voice, it just has this calming effect. Don't worry about it. Just get that first touch on the ball and everything will be just fine. I can still hear you saying that, Dad. And so, and I let that apply in so many places in my life when those butterflies are weighing me down. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And how many times are you caught off guard? And this happens to me quite a bit, especially with my kids. And I want to reel in those harsh words, because when my heart is tense and they're just coming around with their usual chaos, but they catch me in a moment of when, you know, things just aren't going the way I want, when my heart's not right, I can just lash out. Hey, Daddy, watch me. No, I don't want to watch anybody right now. And it's an indication of, well, where is my heart? My heart's not at peace. I'm not letting God's peace fill me up. And Jesus is very straightforward about this. And one day he's talking to people that are bringing some very harsh words and judgment into the lives of others. And he compares them to good trees and bad trees, with good fruit and bad fruit. And he basically says that a tree's fruit is going to indicate if they're healthy or if they've gone sour. And he compares our heart to that. He says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so what are you full of today? Some of you guys are more full of stuff than others. I don't know. And so, but we can all kind of be full of ourselves in ways where we need to let God work on us. Humble us a little bit. Slow us down a little bit. But how's your heart? If you take an inventory of the words that have come out of your mouth in the last 24 hours, maybe the last week, it's a reflection of your heart. If those words have come out at a certain volume, at a certain intensity level, at a certain sharpness, well, maybe life needs to slow down and God needs to come into the picture a little more. Because that's where it all starts. Our words start inside.
and they're a reflection of what's going on inside. And so we want to make sure we don't try to just skate over the surface and be superficial in our lives. God wants us to dig deep and discover, okay, what's going on? Is there some resentment? Is there some anger? Is there some disappointment? If there is, that's okay. We're all dealing with that. And God wants you to be real with Him. Take that to Him. Deal with it. Don't just let it kind of hang out there and continue to disrupt your life and your relationships by coming out in unhealthy ways. God wants you to take that to Him. And I've told you this before. You've got permission to yell, kick, scream, cuss if you need to. God can take it. It's better to get those words and harshness out on your Heavenly Father, who knows your every thought before you even think it, than for it to pollute the lives around you. Take that stuff to God. Work it out with Him. Let Him clean you up and fill you up. And then send you out into your relationships a better person. It's going to bring some good encouragement and not tear others down. Because our words can be brutal. Our words can be weapons. Our words require restraint. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. And whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Lincoln was a scholar of the Bible. You can tell how that influenced him, where he got his proverb. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. Basically, know when it's time to shut up. And many times there are. And I know I've had to learn the hard way through life. And I've got this funny breadcrumb trail of letting my mouth blurt out stuff that all goes back to, I remember, 8th grade. And Kirsten Gordon is pretty blonde. That she came to school one day and just had cut that long, pretty blonde all off, blonde hair all off. And I remember seeing her in the hallway, and the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, "Why'd you cut your hair like that?" And I remember the look on her face was just like this, just embarrassment and disappointment, and then it turned to utter hatred and disgust with me. And she ran off crying into the girls' bathroom, and I'm all, "What?" It just meant that I liked it long, you know? And so, flash forward to you know, probably ought to not share all these stories with you guys. But I remember this wonderful girl in our college youth group. And it finally was the look of disgust and disappointment on her face that made me think, you know what, maybe I ought to think a little bit. But it was all this theme of, I remember telling Julie Gillum, "So why'd you cut your hair like that?" You know, and she just like, again, you know, it's like this look of, you know, and tears. And, you know, so I finally clued in to where I can say, and you could quiz Denise on this. So 6 months into our marriage, I don't know, I just like was a little sensitive to the surprise haircut thing. But Denise comes home and, you know, she's got this long, you know, beautiful brunette hair, just a little bob. 6 months in. I mean, it's like, where did that come from? 6 months. I know. It's like 3 years of dating and long hair. Then all of a sudden, boom, the little bob. And I was like, I just remember, like, all the work I could, you know, just to, like, you know. And it was, you know, but we slowly learn these lessons. Hopefully, I learn them. Because when we see the hurt and woundedness, just our dumb little words can bring into others' lives when we're not careful, when we're not thoughtful. It's all about me. It's all about kind of what I think and my quirky taste or whatever. There's no interest in, okay, well, so, you know, finding out, well, you know, that's great. A new look. That's exciting. New, you know, and encouragement. You know, it's all about me. When we let our words be selfish like that. They can hurt so much. And I've experienced that firsthand, and it's so hard to tame our words, but they need restraint. And in the New Testament, James compares it to trying to tame wild animals and put out rampant forest fires. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And so, is your tongue under control? Does it blurt out sometimes because you haven't taken the time to examine your thoughts and think about, okay, how is this going to affect someone else? It's so easy to be undisciplined with our words. But until we've seen the hurt and felt it in our lives, we can just go on bringing that kind of pain. And I only had enough courage to share with you kind of that, boy, that's been a long track record in my life. And I wish I could say that I've got it down, but I'm still learning the hard way sometimes to tame my tongue. But I'm becoming more and more encouraged when I do take the time to just slow down and see the fruit that can come when I just slow down, take a deep breath, and let my words be a little more thoughtful instead of inflicting the pain and harm that they're otherwise capable of. Our words also maintain trust. And Proverbs speaks to how important having honest words are, even when sometimes it's painful. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Okay, now you guys have heard me say this before. There are the two exceptions
when it's okay to lie, right? Okay, so we've got some new people here, so I always want to remind them.
It's okay. Because this came up in our family, and we had to deal with this as kind of a moral dilemma when our kids were little, first time they watched Star Wars.
And Princess Leia obviously outright lies to Darth Vader about the plans, you know, that were stolen from the Death Star, right? And so Daddy, she's the good person, she just lied to Darth Vader, and so, you know, we decided it's okay. And this is, I mean, hey, the Rahab lied to the two spies in the Old Testament, it's okay to lie to the bad guys to save the good guys. Okay? So if that comes along, you don't have to worry about that ethical dilemma. And then, it's okay when you're trying to pull off a surprise party for your boyfriend or girlfriend, husband or wife, whoever it is, lie through your two teeth, keep it going. God's okay with that. He's cheering you on. Come on, keep the surprise going. Okay, back to this. Otherwise, those are your only two times. Otherwise, for everything else, a dishonest person stirs up conflict, and you're just going to make stuff worse for yourself because they're going to pile up and it's going to become impossible to cover your tracks. And you're going to dig a hole way too deep and your friendships are going to evaporate. A dishonest person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Are you trustworthy in your relationships, in your friendships, in your marriages, in your family, at your workplace? When you say something, can people count on it? Do they believe it? Or is it like, well, we'll see how that goes? And so your words have a huge impact on those around you. Sometimes it's tough to tell the truth. Sometimes it can sting, but wounds from a friend can at least be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And we want to be the kind of person in the lives of those around us where they can trust us and listen to us even when we have something tough to say that they might not want to hear in that moment. I remember years ago,
One of our friends, is really Denise's friend from this group of friends from college that I sort of married into, and she was one of the last ones to get married in this group of friends, and she'd found this guy, and we traveled out to Minnesota to meet him, and everybody was so happy for this gal because, you know, she met this guy at church and everything, and looked like, you know, he was very into her and she was into him. But once we got to know him, woo! Okay, so this was not a match made in heaven. It was, you know, and I remember on the airplane on the way back home, it's like, okay, which one of you guys is going to be straight up with her? And it was like all this, don't want to ruin stuff for her. Well, that's, you know, go back to that first verse. That's, you know, that might be fun for a season. Some dating and a wedding date and all that kind of stuff. You got to think long term. There's no way. This was stark. This was like, she was in La La Land, missing all the clues. But all her friends knew, and everybody was just tense. It's like, who's going to be the one to step up? And I'm like, come on, Denise, you got to do it. And she was like, I remember it was a few weeks away. I mean, praying, you know, talking, getting counsel, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have to step in and do this because I can't watch this train wreck. I just can't. It's too much for me. You know, maybe I'll take the brunt. I'm not one of the groups in this group of girls, you know. And so then we get a call from one of the other girls that had stepped up. And still, anytime this comes up, it's like, thank you guys, for loving me so much to tell me straight. And it was within not a very long time, God brought just the right guy into her life, happily married, I mean, just blessed, because some friends cared. And even though it was hard, there were tears, it was like, you're ruining this for me now, you're just jealous, I finally met somebody, my turn came, all those things happened, and everybody worked through it. It was tough, but wounds from a friend can be trusted. And that eventually came out and saved the day. And I love how Paul puts it in Ephesians. Our words maintain trust, and therefore each of us must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to each other, to our neighbors, for we are all members of one body. We're all in it together. We're all a community of faith, a church, the body of Christ. We're a family. We've got to be straight up with each other. Sometimes it can be a little painful, but when we've built that track record of commitment with each other and friendship through honesty and integrity, we know that we've got each other's best interests at heart, and it makes it easier to hear those critiques or those warnings or those cautions. And so we want to be those kinds of friends with each other. And God wants that for us. And those are words of wisdom for us to implant in our lives. But words are brutal. They can hurt very much. But on the flip side, they can bring incredible joy and faith and optimism and encouragement and peace into our lives when we use them right. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Eugene Peterson puts that same verse like this: kind words heal and help, cutting words wound and maim. And man, you just got to be around a few middle school girls, you know, to hear some of that talk. But at any age, you just got to be in, I grew up playing sports and in construction. Man, talk about letting words fly. I mean, it took me years to clean up my mouth. And so, but I mean, just the sarcasm, I'm still working on the sarcasm, you guys know that. But God wants our words because he knows how powerful they are to have a positive effect on those around us. And we think we can be joking around or whatever, and as guys, it's really easy to pretend we're laughing stuff off. But it hurts. It hurts when we're cruel with each other. But nothing inspires more when one of you guys comes along, puts your arm around me and says, "Hey, great job." I mean, there is just nothing that gives us guys a lift, you ladies a lift, when a friend comes along and just says, "Hey, I love how you did this," or "I appreciate the way you handled this," or "Thank you for being there for me," or whatever it is. And so often we just leave things unsaid, or we just try to cover it up with a little, you know, a little humor, a little sarcasm, kind of brush it off. And we don't realize how far those words can go. Paul also puts it like this: "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And so, I've got a question for you for this week. I hope, and I've said this a couple times in this series, that's a lot of words up on that screen today. And if you want to go back and review, we always post this on our website. All the words, the audio, so you can go back over it if you want. Those of you, I know you like to take notes, but those that don't, you know, don't want to take notes, there's a way to find those again. Shoot, I'll email them to you. Just ask, whatever's easy. But just find one thing. Find one proverb, one line that's going to inspire you that you can put to work this week in one life. But this week, who do you need to speak healing to? Does that sound kind of funky? But it's true. Your words bring healing. Emotional, spiritual, even physical healing into the lives around you. God has designed us in our words to have such power and impact in our relationships, that our very words can make an incredible difference in the lives around us. Who is one person that you can affect like that? I want to show you something I ran across this week that I thought was pretty inspiring. Let's let it catch up here. I wish I had thought of this back in the day when I was doing youth. Take that seriously today. Your words can be incredible, and they can change the world and the lives around you. So, as we go to worship now, kind of reflect on these thoughts, I'm just going to pray, Lord Jesus, that You would just put on the heart of every person here, someone who needs to hear a good word through them. Lord, that You could speak through everyone here this week, that You would clean up the words for those whose words need to be cleaned up, that You would bring positive, healing words through each mouth here to the person that needs that lift. Lord, that You would help everyone here resist any temptation to fit any little way, Lord, but just to be just full of integrity and honesty in work, in marriage, in school, in every little place, to just have Your integrity, Lord, in all this, because You fill up the hearts of everyone here. And Lord, that their words would just reflect a full heart of security and joy, because they know that the God of the universe is with them. And walking alongside and whispering words of encouragement every step of the way. So Jesus, let us have Your words to each other. Please speak through us that we can be a blessing and change the world the way You want us to. We pray this in Your name. As Ryan leads us in some songs, know that you're invited to the Lord's table. We celebrate communion every week here at Neighborhood Church, and it's in your own timing. But just you're invited anytime during the time that we're singing. Come in your own timing as you feel like. So let's stand up and let's sing together. And also, this is a time where myself and also want to invite any of our prayer leaders to be in the back for anyone who would like prayer. And so we're here to pray for you. So let's worship.